This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the show with the three amigos, Hotman, Crowder, and Solana on FM radio. Them boys be sliding, so we riding and we ready to go. 100,000 watts full throttle, baby, ready to blow. We passing Boca up to Jupiter, we got your attention. You can tune in anywhere, but listen at your discretion. To the legend, Mr. Hotman, can't stop him, meet your deuce. My brother got his own hot burger at Tucker Deuce. Now I rush more of these sports, spitting the truth. It's Channing Crowder, greatest Dolphin to rock the 52. Solana one, best of Miami, the voice of FIU. We reppin' to Miami, the Heat and the Panthers too. We reppin' for the Marlins, the Dolphins, that's how we do. We reppin' for the Crips, so it's always about the U. Hey Jimmy, please get a bell on the phone and tell him that it's on. I finally got his name on the song. Can't do him wrong, cause it sounds so sweet. You speak the facts while I keep the crowd on their feet. Football season be the reason that I be bringing this heat. Georgia music representing 104.3. Hey, welcome to the show.
Oh, it brings me great delight to say welcome to the show on New Year's Day, the first day of 2026, and the first day in the longest that we can have a legitimate conversation about whether the U is back. We will have that conversation today.
I think they're back, Hawk. I think they're back.
We will have that conversation today. What a New Year's Eve for Canes fans last night. They never trailed. The defense in the first half was possessed. Like, you couldn't even believe what you were watching. You know, Ohio State had no idea what hit them. We've put together a good show for you today on New Year's Day. Crowder's off today, but we had told you all week we were going to be here. Solana and I decided, win or lose, let's do a live show after the Canes game last night. And I have to tell you, I watched that thing with a grin from ear to ear because I don't think Ohio State had any idea what they were going to be up against. And like I said, we've put together a really good show for you today. Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, is going to join us. Zach Gelb, national radio analyst, is going to join us. And John Michaels, radio host and the greatest Canes fan on the planet, is going to join us. But I wanted to ask Gino, like, when you know Bain and Mesidor are across the line and they're teeing off on you, how does that affect you mentally? You're watching Saiyan last night. Like, I mean, I was just having so much fun watching that game. Got a little dicey at the beginning of the second half. You're like, okay, momentum is starting to shift. But, man, it was just everything we wanted it to be. I can't tell you how great last night felt as a Canes fan. You know, I went to UM from 87 to 91, and we've been searching for something since when? 02, 03, 01, really. There was some payback involved last night with Ohio State because, first of all, you're knocking them out of the opportunity to be back-to-back champions, which is what they did to us, and they didn't even do it to us. It was the refs. And by the way, the refs were doing UM no favors last night. There were a couple of PI calls that a blind man could have called. But regardless, what a time to be a Canes fan. What a New Year's Eve. John Michaels, I was texting with him last night. He was celebrating his New Year's. He told me he literally broke down in tears, crying at the end of that game, that that's how much the Miami Hurricanes mean to him. Reading some of the chats that are coming in here. People are very appreciative that we're on the air today. We wouldn't have missed this. Solana and Jimmy and I had talked about it. Like, Crowder had already had a vacation planned with the family, but it's a little different when you've got young kids. I totally understand, and I know that
he might pop
had I
in.
Had a young child at this time.
He might pop in, Hawk. He told me on when you had stepped away on whatever that was, Tuesday. He said, maybe I'll jump on for an hour or two. So
he is a bandwagon Canes fan.
Well, especially that they won.
for sure.
He's all in now. Yeah.
He's not even bandwagon anymore. Now he's like Canes fan number one, right ahead of John Michaels. But, yeah, people are chatting in, and we're happy to be here, too. We're glad that
we
can do it. There is. That we will have that forever. Crowder throwing up the U for the YouTube streamers. But anyway, we're excited. Who's not excited? So now we've got a game next week. And that's the final step to get to the national championship game, which is here at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Yep. I'm watching, by the way, the Orange Bowl right now. Oregon is up 6-0 over Texas Tech. I do have a parlay working. I'll share that with you later. We got action. We got the Winter Classic tomorrow. We got action. Here's what we'll do. Let's do headlines with Solana. And then looks like the Orange Bowl is pretty crowded, pretty full there. Because I had seen that prices were dropping a lot, but definitely not an embarrassing crowd. That looks nice. Anyway, let's do headlines with Solana. There is a lot going on. And then we'll talk about Miami and Ohio State. And then we got to start to forecast Miami and Georgia or Miami and Ole Miss.
Give me Georgia. Give me the storybook ending, Hawk.
But
come on.
I love the Ole Miss story, though.
I want Georgia.
I love the Ole Miss story, though. Yeah. I love the Lane Kiffin story.
Yeah, but who cares? Like, give me we're exercising demons this run. Like, give me the storybook ending. Give me you exercise all the demons. You make Notre Dame feel even worse about itself. You run through multiple SEC schools. Carson Beck gets to send one final FU to everybody by taking down Georgia, who kicked them to the curb last year. Cristobal is literally fulfilling destiny right now. I mean, Hawk, fulfilling destiny right now with the Miami Hurricanes, and then give me Oregon for all the marbles so that Cristobal can end them all right there.
Well, Oregon just scored another touchdown. They're up 12-0. If they hit this extra point, it'll be up 13-0, which is the first leg of my parlay, Oregon -1.5. So I feel good about that right now. Somebody puts on the chat, wait a minute, bro, you're not going to talk about the Dolphins signing former North Dakota State quarterback Cam Miller ahead of their season finale? Of course we are. Course. Here are your headlines with Alejandro Solana.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the Miami Hurricanes. What an effing game. Hawk, the pick six yesterday, the picks, like, oh my God.
Somebody put on the chat, that pick six had me yelling loud. Me, my wife, my son. Screaming on the couch. That dude watched film. Yep. I don't know what he saw, but he knew where that ball was going to be before the ball was let go. He knew where that ball was going to be before the receiver had any idea the ball was coming to him. That pick six was a thing of beauty. That pick six was why people study film, because there's no way that that was an accident. He knew where that ball was going.
He knew the formation. He knew what was going to happen in that formation. And the second the receiver went in motion or the running back went in motion, he knew the play. He knew it. I mean, unbelievable. And Hawk, did you see this really insane sequence? So I don't know if you saw the video. Keontae Scott, who had the interception, who picked off Julian Sain, he intercepted him back in 2019, a pick six. Did you see this?
No.
These two both played, Keontae Scott for the Miami Hurricanes and the quarterback at Ohio State. They both played high school football together against each other in San Diego. And in the 2019, it was the high school football championship. Helix Charter versus Carlsbad. Keontae Scott picked off the Carlsbad quarterback, who was Aiden Sayin, and returned it for a touchdown in a crucial moment. And you fast forward to yesterday.
And he does it again.
Does it again in a crucial
moment. It's one of the cleanest pick sixes you'll ever see in your life. I mean, literally one of the cleanest pick sixes you will ever see in your life.
Crazy, man. I mean, we were ready to pop champagne. My buddies and I watching the game, we were ready to pop champagne right there. We're like, there's no way, like, you're going to, there's no way you blow this, right? Like, you're up 14-0. You had the touchdown already. You get the pick six. All the momentum's coming your way. And then, you know, I wasn't feeling great.
End of the first half. You know, I had bet. So I won every bet that I made last night. I had some great tickets. One of them was Hurricanes over 14.5. And I wanted to hit that in the first half. Almost did.
Crazy, man. Well, the Miami Hurricanes await a couple more results from later today. They'll play the winner of Georgia and Ole Miss. You said it's 13-0 in the Orange Bowl right now?
Yeah, 13-0 Oregon over Texas Tech.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were betting the over in that game because it was at 51.5.
I don't think it's going to reach.
I don't think so. Yeah, 13-0 midway through the third quarter. The remainder of the games are coming up later today. Alabama versus Indiana in the Rose Bowl. I know a lot of people in Miami will be glued to that one. That's at 4 p.m.
I've got, then, as my parlay, I've got Indiana -7.5, and I also have the over 47.5 in that game.
And then Ole Miss and Georgia will kick off tonight at 8 p.m. The Canes are going to play in the Fiesta Bowl. I'm a little uneasy about that in itself, but they'll play in the Fiesta Bowl. But it
talk
does
about exercising demons, man.
Right, it does. It adds to the storybook stuff. That's going to be a week from today. So next Thursday, January 8th, that'll be at 7:30 p.m. The Fiesta Bowl, it'll be the winner of Ole Miss, Georgia. And then the other game will be the winner of Oregon, Texas Tech. It looks like it's going to be Oregon, and the winner of Alabama, Indiana. That'll be Friday, January 9th in the Peach Bowl. Those will be your two semifinal games. And we all know college football playoff championship game will be decided at Hard Rock Stadium on January 19th.
Talk about it.
January 19th. Couple other headlines. Since the chatter wanted us to talk about it, we will. The Dolphins did sign a quarterback to the 53-man roster, Cam Miller from North Dakota State. They poached him from the Raiders practice squad. I was reading a Barry Jackson tweet. Miller set the North Dakota State program record for most completions and passing yards in a single season, which was previously held by Carson Wentz, who held that record back in 2014. He led the Bison to another state title, or another title, winning the 2025 NCAA Division I football championship game, named the game.
Someone's going to have to explain that to me, why they signed him.
Mike McDaniel saw something. I mean, I don't know.
I just don't understand. It's the final game. So I understand if your quarterback, you're not going to play your quarterback because you don't want him to get hurt. But they're obviously going to play Quinn Ewers. What the hell do they care about Zach Wilson? Like, you're telling me if Quinn Ewers goes down, or they're getting blown out by 40, or they're up by 40, that they don't want to go to Zach Wilson? So someone explain that to me, why they make that maneuver. I'm really confused by that.
It's exactly what we all thought, Hawk. The final game of the season for the Miami Dolphins, Quinn Ewers would start and Cam Miller would be the backup to Quinn Ewers, which, by the way, Tua and Zach Wilson are healthy.
I'm just confused by it. I don't understand. Obviously, there's a reason, but I don't know it. I know what
Mike McDaniel should have done? He should have signed Carson Beck last night. That's what he should have done. This morning, he's going to sign Carson Beck.
Make an NIL offer. Can you sign an NIL contract with the NFL?
Did you think he played well, Carson Beck? I did.
I thought he played well enough to win.
Yeah.
Did he blow me away where you watch him and you go, wow, I can't believe he can do that? The way that you'd watch Cam Ward, right? There were times where you'd watch Cam, even in the Tennessee game last Sunday. But, like, there's times where you watch Cam Ward and you're like, I cannot believe. But I'll tell you, Carson Beck, when they needed a first down, he got hosed on a first down, a BS overturning of a call. He absolutely had a first down. how they saw enough to overturn the call. It doesn't matter because they won. But I thought Carson Beck did everything he needed to do to ensure that they came out of there with the dub.
He was putting his shoulder down and picking up first downs on that final drive. I know, I mean, the running backs deserve, like, and the offensive line deserves a ton of credit. But there was one play where it was third down. I think it was like third and 11. He took off running, lowered his shoulder into two DBs, and just picked up the first down. Like, man, he played with balls last night. I love that.
And he is that dude. Like, people who don't know him, he's that dude. Every one of his teammates says that about him. Like, he's that dude. He will put the team on his back. He will lower his shoulder.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Boulder.
And a happy new year to you and yours. I am Dan Day along with Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald. Wow, Omar, I told you, you might have to down that whole bottle of sparkling grape juice that you got for you and your daughter on New Year's Eve. And did you, after the Hurricanes, did what you wanted them to do?
That was a joyous, elated moment. And understand, I was at the infamous Peach Bowl where Miami got beat up not only on the field.
I was there.
But also in the tunnel physically.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the end of the era of the great Hurricanes. That was 2004,
mm-hmm.
I believe, the end of the 2003 season. And to see and watch the great return. I know they've been back to the Orange Bowl, during the Mark Richt era, but this team is one victory away from playing a national championship. And I said this from the very beginning of the season. I know a lot of Canes fans are still upset with me because I was quite critical of the team earlier in the season when they were undefeated, because I said they don't have the killer instinct.
Mm-hmm.
They lack that, and we talked about it. They lack that bite your neck and shake your body kind of mentality. But I'm at the point now where I knew they had the talent, but I think those two losses for them were important because it taught them how important taking care of businesses. I heard something. I think QAM had it. Josh Darrow. I don't remember. What's his
Josh Darrow.
Josh Darrow, yeah. Had an interview and he was talking to a young player. I can't remember which one it was. And he basically said, those two losses taught us how we need to take care of our business. And if we don't take care of our business, you know, it'll be taken care of for us. And they seized the moment. Even I think some of the most important plays of that game was Carson Beck scrambling and running and converting the first down. And when he lowered his shoulder and gained that first down, a play that most Dolphin fans would criticize Tua to death about, even though the general manager and head coach basically told him at the end of the year, stay healthy, do everything it takes, don't put yourself at risk. And he did that all season, and then he got benched for it. That amongst other things. But to see the Hurricanes take care of business and to see Mario at the end of the game get kind of conservative and then open it back up, man, that showed some growth.
Got to tell you this, Omar. Number one, Carson Beck with the running thing said he didn't get that first down on that first run that he did. And he goes, that's not happening again. He said, next time I'm running someone over. And that's exactly what he did. And for all the people, and I got this all No one can celebrate and enjoy anything. Imagine if this team had Cam Ward. Imagine if Cam Ward had this defense. I don't do that. Look, celebrate and enjoy. Imagine. We can imagine everything. Give Carson Beck, give Mario Cristobal, and give this team their credit. Let's enjoy this, but at the same time, let's whoop Ole Miss.
Yes, absolutely. There, and that's why I always felt like they had the makings of a championship team, because you know me, Dan. You know I believe in the trenches. You build
you're
inside
all trenches.
It's mandatory, not just in the NFL. That's how you win in January and December. But in college football, you own the line of scrimmage. You own the game.
Look what they did.
And Miami did against Ohio State. And they did it their way with you know, I would love for Miami to get more of a physical rushing attack, and I get it, you know, everybody, but that's the thing about January and December. Your bodies are a little bit worn out. So if I'm trying to pound on your body, you're eventually going to, it might not be in the first quarter, it might not be in the second quarter, but third quarter, you don't want no more. You're done. You're tired. You're just trying to make it through. And that's the way they played, and that's why they beat Ohio State. And they have the makings of a championship caliber team. Take care of Ole Miss, and then more than likely the way Indiana's playing. Woo!
That Fernando Mendoza, almost a perfect game yesterday, by the way. Columbus High graduate, by the way.
South Florida native, by the way. I say this all the time, and I heard yesterday from a very good University of Miami information provider, Tim Reynolds, who it works for the AP. Tim Reynolds and I go. Tim has covered the University of Miami since back in the day when I covered the University of Miami, and he basically said Hurricanes had their shot at Mendoza. They wanted him.
I think they did. Yeah,
they wanted him. He just didn't. He just did. His dad supposedly didn't want him in Miami, which to me is just unreal. But hey, listen. Carson Beck, I actually wanted the Canes to play Georgia.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping.
I wanted Carson Beck to have to face his demons, face his past. And you know, I think the better team won, because I'm going to tell you a little secret, Dan. I actually like the Ole Miss quarterback.
Yeah, he's all right, I guess. It's hard for me to like anything Ole Miss, but go ahead.
Oh, come on. Let your Louisiana ways.
I'm an LSU guy. Graduate.
I know, but
you're a FAMU guy. You guys, come on now.
I can like Howard. I can like something.
You like Southern University?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it. I've gotten past all that vengeance and beef.
Alabama State?
Yeah, I can live with it. I mean, great university. Right. Here's the thing about Ole Miss, and I love the Lane Kiffin angle.
Ugh.
I think
Lane makes Kiffin it even look worse for LSU, by the way.
Lane Kiffin will continue to troll the nation, because that's what he does. So he'll probably be at the next round. He will probably just continue to hang around. It benefits LSU. I don't know why you're mad. It benefits LSU. You keep talking about Lane Kiffin, more exposure. Lane Kiffin's probably going to recruit half that Ole Miss team. I mean, bring him to LSU. He's got the money now. Mm. Well, not that Ole Miss didn't have money before. So, but you know what? The one thing, I went to the Orange Bowl and I saw the Oregon and their quarterback, and then I was not impressed,
right,
by the way.
I've never been.
You know what? It's funny you say that, because and I wrote this in a Miami Herald column, because I was really just there to just watch him. I didn't pay attention to what else happened in the game. I just watched him. And that's how I watch college football, for those who don't know. I watch college football just for prospects. Mm-hmm. There are points in this when I watch college football, it's in the spring before the draft. So there are points where I don't know who won the Michigan Ohio State game. I don't know who won LSU Alabama. So I'm watching that game and I'm just like fascinated at what's happening. But I'm really just focused on four or five prospects. But to watch to watch. So, but I've watched him a couple of times. He locks in on his receiver. Great arm, good throwing mechanics, solid athleticism. Doesn't exactly utilize it, but more like a CJ Stroud. Can run if necessary. Can move out the pocket and throw on with changing the launch points. So there's tons to work on. But that guy stares down receivers the entire game. I'm like, that's not going to work in the NFL. You can't do that. And then who else did I watch? I watched the Alabama quarterback. I mean, I know he got hurt.
Right.
But he got benched.
Yes, he did.
And the quarterback who came in, I could work with some of that. I might, if I'm him, I might insert myself in the transfer portal and see what kind of work I can get. You know, this is the new day of college football, and everybody's transferring every year. Why not see what opportunity I can get? I know I'm not going to play ahead of this guy who's projected as a first-round pick. Even the Ohio State quarterback, who a lot of people are projecting as a first-round pick next year, a lot of people are telling you, oh, he's going to be it's a better draft next year for quarterbacks. And it probably is. Let's be honest about it, because I'm at the point where it's Mendoza or nothing.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I'm sure the Raiders are probably tanking to take Mendoza.
They should.
Yes. But you could probably sell it for a good bounty. Hmm. Maybe three, four draft picks.
Look, let me tell you something about Fernando Mendoza. He's that type of guy that everyone discounts. Coming out of high school, not highly recruited. Goes to Cal. Goes to Indiana.
No. He wasn't.
No, I'm saying people were. Wins the Heisman. There was nobody else. Goes out there and whoops Alabama. Still. Man, he is 6'4", smart as you can get. His IQ in football is unbelievable, says all the right things. It's refreshing at the end of the game when they interview him, the way he carries himself, the way he holds himself. Is he one of those guys that's going to be discounted forever until he gets into the league, plays with the Raiders, and makes the Raiders a winner, and everybody's still going to go, maybe.
Yeah, I think he's a little corny, Dan.
Yeah, he's a little wholesome, too wholesome for me. I got you on that.
It's not wholesome. It's just corny. He reminds me a lot of Andrew Luck.
Yes.
It's just now, if you win on the field,
that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Unless your team.
I mean, because realistically, Tua is a little bit
corny,
but yes. He won back in the day.
I just saw him throw a dart. They're replaying the game right now. Bye.
Hawk and Crowder are off. Hawk's going to be here. He'll be out at the Winter Classic. Doug Plagans is going to join us in the next hour. George Richards from Florida Hockey Now is going to join us coming up in the next hour. We were talking about Ole Miss and Georgia yesterday. Did you watch any of the other games? Do you have a chance to watch any of the previous games? Oregon and Texas Tech was just a slaughter. Like, it wasn't even close. And then Bama just got dominated by Fernando Mendoza and Indiana.
What a sentence.
He looks like he is going to be the number one overall pick. He looked the part yesterday again. And, man, I'll tell you what, the SEC, I mean, Georgia and Ole Miss, that game was an instant classic. But the SEC not looking too hot over the last couple days.
Where are all these college football pundits talking about how we have to overhaul the college football playoff because of all these blowouts? Alabama and Texas Tech, who I think are both very good teams. Now, I think Notre Dame should have been in over Alabama, but Alabama still worthy of being in the top 12 of college football, given the regular season and making it to the SEC championship game. But I don't hear any crowing about Texas Tech getting blown out, shut out in a playoff game, or Alabama putting up 3 points in a playoff game.
There was some crowing, like the Big 12. What are we doing with the Big 12? We're rewarding Texas Tech for going undefeated in a conference that clearly is just not able to match up against the best teams in college football.
But the point is, the Panthers just scored a goal. That's not the point. The point is that blowouts happen no matter the level of the opponent. James Madison scored over 30 points against the same Oregon team up at Autzen in Oregon in the first round of the playoff. I will say, the Orange Bowl being played at noon didn't feel right.
It didn't?
No. I like the Orange Bowl at night.
Yeah, but it was beautiful yesterday.
Oh,
the weather was perfect.
I'm not saying it wasn't.
I mean, compared to the Rose Bowl, where it was raining for 48 hours straight before the game.
If it were me, I know it was cool that Miami was in prime time at night, but how about you go Orange Bowl at night on New Year's Eve, Cotton Bowl at Jerry World indoors at noon to start the triple header the next day, or do a double header on each day. The Orange Bowl at night or at noon didn't feel right to me.
Yeah, but sunny South Florida, you're in Miami, the sun was out. I don't know. I think you're off on this one. I think it made a lot of sense. Plus, the weather was perfect. Couldn't have asked for better weather unless you're a Texas Tech fan. Then,
well, at least you got good weather when you sat through that drubbing.
Very true.
I mean, it's got to be such an odd feeling because of the season they had and how great they were. And then you come out in the playoff and you just lay an absolute egg. Like, how do you even, like, process the season you just had?
If you're one of the fans, Miami Hurricanes fans, who had the guts from the very beginning and booked flights and booked hotels and booked your tickets, were able to secure tickets, past Ohio State, you're in luck. If you aren't, if you're thinking of jumping on a flight now, to go to Arizona to watch the Fiesta Bowl.
Start driving now.
Start driving, because good luck. Listen to what Andy Slater tweeted. He said, zero seats available on nonstop flights from Miami to Phoenix the day before the Fiesta Bowl. And he says, if you're flying out of FLL in Fort Lauderdale, JetBlue added one flight with a few seats left at $1,300 round ticket. Thursday, 7:30, Miami, Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl. It's going to be insane, my guess, but for those of you who had the guts and planned ahead, you're in luck. For those of you who didn't, good luck, man.
I mean, look,
good luck getting there.
You can take a nice connection through the wonderful Atlanta airport on Delta. You fly up there an hour and a half, and then you get on the bird from Atlanta and you go to Phoenix. If you don't mind not having a direct flight, some people do. So in that case, like I said, you start driving now.
It's crazy, though, man, right? Miami playing meaningful football. They're one win away. One win, Appel, from getting to the college football playoff natty, which is going to be played in Miami. I mean, Cristobal wins that game. He's immediately, you think about the head coaches who have come through here already. He wins that game, and he's being talked about, I'm not saying as the greatest head coach in Kansas history, but he's in that conversation.
Well, he's got to win a national championship.
Right. But I'm saying, I mean, in Miami, to do it the way he's done it, he's immediately catapulted into that conversation.
The thing that I'm rooting for is an IU Miami national championship. Columbus's Fernando Mendoza against Columbus's Mario Cristobal.
Is that your dream matchup? Because I still like,
I don't think Miami wins that game. I think they have a better chance to beat Oregon.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Indiana is that good?
Yes. They blow everybody out, and they just thumped Alabama. They beat Ohio State in essentially the same manner that Miami did. They're both really good up front, and it all just comes down to quarterback play when all things are even. And I give the nod to Fernando Mendoza. But, you can't overlook Trinidad and Ole Miss. I mean, the Canes are favored in that game. It's going to be tough regardless of the coaching situation. That might give Miami a leg up, but it's still going to be an incredibly difficult game. I do wonder, though, like, at what point for Miami does this become, all right, like, everything from here on out is gravy. Like, you just went to College Station and took down Texas A&M. You just beat Ohio State, the defending national champion, who was number one in the country all the way until they lost by 3 in the Big Ten title game to Indiana. And you beat them by 10. At what point does this become gravy? And at what point are they playing with house money? Not in the sense that, like, all right, like, we're here and we're happy to be here, but, like, this is a roaring success of a season right now.
But I think it was gravy after you beat A&M. You got in. Okay. You beat A&M. You won your college football playoff game. You proved the doubters wrong that not only did you belong there, but you could go on the road and win a really tough game against an SEC opponent. And to beat Ohio State, I mean, well, that's like, to beat Ohio State, shake off the rust or the demons of that 2003 blown call by Terry Porter. Like, to me, it's already gravy.
Right, and part of me wonders, like, does the semifinal game feel less big than the quarterfinal 100%. Game against Ohio State?
I thought with the Georgia storyline, you know, it maybe would have felt bigger. But it doesn't with Ole Miss. And by the way, I think you got to win this game, man, because to play for a natty in Miami, yeah. like, because so it's in
your
Miami,
home stadium, yep.
I mean, in your home stadium, especially when you're on basically, like, on the outside looking in, you felt, of the college football playoff. Man, the committee has to feel good right now, by the way, right?
Oh, my God. They are well, I would say they're vindicated for sure with the Miami decision.
The Alabama one.
The Alabama one, absolutely. Now, I know they went on the road and beat Oklahoma, but Oklahoma is about on the same tier as Alabama is. Notre Dame is better than Alabama, and I feel like could have given Indiana. I know SEC fans love to talk in hypotheticals, so I'm going to talk in hypotheticals now. I hypothetically think Notre Dame would have given Indiana a much better game in the quarterfinal.
What's this Dick Vitale doing? Huh? You saw that tweet?
what are we doing here?
I have no doubt that Notre Dame would be lifting the national title trophy. Like,
how?
Okay. Oh, maybe they should have won more games then.
Right.
Don't
lose to A&M, the team that Miami beat on the road. Yeah, how about that?
This is the first college football playoff ever where the semifinals don't include any of Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, or Clemson.
It's amazing what happens when all these power conference teams can start building their roster with salaries and money. And not just the SEC, and it levels the playing field, and suddenly the big bad SEC isn't all big and isn't so bad anymore. Well, maybe they are kind of bad.
They're still pretty bad. Ole Miss scared the hell out of me.
No, I'm just saying, like, we're looking at some of these SEC teams in the college football playoff and in some of these bowl games. Like, Tennessee and Missouri did not beat a team with a winning record all season long, and those two programs were ranked consistently all year to bolster these resumes of other SEC teams in the college football playoff rankings. And my point is, well, yes, the Big Ten and the SEC are still the kings as far as conferences go in college football. The playing field is so much more even now. It's so much more even. The gap has shrunk considerably.
Just don't make them like they used to, Leroy.
Can I just say this?
Yes, sir.
You better have a reason for just playing that song just random. That's just what you found.
You know this? No, I was like,
are we leading to something?
Come on, I'm just getting into the hits.
You
right
talking
now.
About this wedding because some girl about to have a diamond? You don't know what to do.
And that leads to my next segment, Diamond in the Rough. No, I'm kidding. That'd definitely be right up my alley, though. That definitely would be right up
it
my
would.
Alley.
It would. That's sure. What I'm saying. What's the angle there?
Nah, you know, it's just a new year. Start a new year off with the right vibes. You know, usually when I come on here.
You know
here,
what the good vibe is?
What's that?
Let me tell you what the good vibe is.
Tell me.
Winning.
Yo, hey.
Winning.
That is a secret sauce, Leroy. That is the secret sauce right there, and it seems
By the way,
yeah,
I ain't going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
I may have won a little chili pepper.
On what? On what?
On the Canes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. I mean, look, a 9.5?
Dude, I said it all last week. That seems ridiculous.
That was ridiculous.
Because if, again, and I know people are going to think I'm saying this after the fact, but I actually said all these things beforehand.
Yeah.
When you look at all the teams that Ohio State struggled against, Texas, they barely scored. Indiana, they barely scored. Okay. Miami's D-line is better than those guys. So what in the world did you think was going to happen then? The only thing that you're worried about was if they got time. But, man. That defense, they mixed it up a lot. I mean, they brought four, they brought five, they dropped guys. It was a nice defensive game plan, and they had them off guard the whole time. You know when you know you have a defense, offense off guard, just off guard and have no idea what to do?
How?
You bring four guys.
Yeah.
Only four guys.
Yep.
But you bring them to one side. And now you got two guys blocking four guys, and the two guys on the other side blocking nobody.
No, they were stunting. They were just right. bull rushing. They were just, you know, it was, like you said, a variety of looks. And I want to give myself credit, Leroy, because I would like to take credit for Keontae Scott, who got that 72-yard pick.
Oh,
that
my
pick
goodness. You know what that was? I'm going to tell you what that pick was from.
Yeah.
That pick was from they early in the game. They were getting so much pressure on the quarterback that they sent in a play to just have a quick throw.
Yep.
Right? However, a lot of those times it looked like the quarterback, and in all teams, not just him, they just, you know, throw that little quick screen like nobody's ever going to get to it.
Yeah.
And the defense was so fast in reacting to the play that the guy who was supposed to block Keontae couldn't get out there.
Yeah. No, it was film study, it was anticipation, it was trends, following the trend of the game, and it was me actually making sure that it happened.
I'm going to do a wild card here. I'm going to say Keontae Scott. Say two interceptions for Scott. And, you know, they have arguably the best wide receiving core in college football, so if we're able to slow that down, that would be kudos to him.
So, I mean, it has to be obvious at this point. That was me. I was definitely, you know, someone's calling the who will be calling the guest line right now? I can't even pick it up because I'm the only guy here. So I can't be like, all right, hold on, show. Let me pick up the phone. I apologize. But they're calling the important line, too. The one that flashes.
You know what it's probably going to be? Do you need windows or roof or any type of home improvements?
It's going to be something stupid, I promise. But like,
I love the way people call in that situation and they go, are you the homeowner? I'm like, yeah. You call me.
Maybe it's the big leagues. The big leagues is calling me up to let me know that my prediction was so damn good that I need to be working at ESPN or something like that. Of course, Reuben Bain was going to have a great game. Of course, Mark Fletcher, Malachi Toney, which, by the way, Malachi Toney, hold on to the ball. What the hell are we doing here? He dribbled that football like it was a basketball multiple times.
Nah, sometimes it get lucky.
Oh, it might be Tobin. Was it Tobin?
This is when you know. This is when you know how a game is going to go. When the ball bounced right back to him and he almost got the first.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's. Listen, two times it bounced right back to him. Now I got to find out if that was Tobin who just called. Because who else would call?
Tro said, yeah. Not true, Leroy. JJ was there for the block. But he telegraphed his block. I'm like, dude, you ever tried to block a water bug? Like, yeah, if he jump it and they ain't standing like they are in practice,
yeah,
I beat the block. Like, yeah.
And he's big, too. Like, you know, he's 220. Jeremiah, like, you know, Keontae Scott can just, if you just, like you said, like a agile move around.
It's just one of those things that sometimes when you run these plays, right, and you practice him, you're expecting a guy to be in a certain area. And if he deviates from that or jumps it, you get caught off guard to where you can't get to him. It happens a lot on run plays. It happens a lot on, you know, a lot, especially on pass plays. With just, you know, a quarterback making a quick read and making a throw, and he ends up throwing it to the defensive tackle. Right? Yeah. Like, just certain things, and that's defensively, that's why you prepare for those things and jump them and stuff like that. So you kind of have to be careful in some of those moments, especially if the defensive coordinator has figured out, oh, here's the time for this, and he calls the defense and tells the guy, hey, jump it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we had a good pulse of the game in regards to when to call the blitz.
Everybody did. They only got caught maybe one or two times, which is normal in the course of football. If you're talking about – now, I'm going to tell you what, Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah.
Like, he still had, what, 160?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, maybe that's the reason why he's still out there after the game dapping up 29 different people. Because
I did my thing.
Yeah, hey, listen,
I did my thing.
They lost, not me. That's which is why I'm saying, you know, maybe he can find his way. I don't know.
He ain't leaving.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Action and the over. And then we'll need Ole Miss plus 6.5. Four-leg parlay. First leg is in. You just want to get the first leg down, and then you worry about the rest after that. I see Zach Gelb is on the video stream there. Looks like the New York skyline is behind him. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Zach Gelb is an NFL studio host for Compass Media Networks. He's got Commanders Eagles this week. Make sure you follow Zach on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, Zach Gelb. And he joins us now. Now, we were supposed to be off today. You got to unmute your mic, Gelb. That's why Solana's pointing at you. Gelb's used to the studio. You
know. Well, no, here's the thing. I didn't have it muted, and then I joined this thing, and then it's muted. So I didn't mute anything.
So it was Jimmy's fault?
You guys muted me. Yeah,
I'm Jimmy's fault. No. I didn't touch it.
Starting the year off, throwing Jimmy under the bus?
This happens every week. I come on. The mic gets muted, and then it gets unmuted right before I'm about to go on. I thought Solana was pointing to Jimmy, so I was about to unmute myself. But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, I didn't want to throw Jimmy under the bus to start the new year, but we could all move on because the Canes won.
Exactly. How about that? Canes won. You know what happened? Like, I'm supposed to be off today, and Solana was going to be off. Crowder's off. Gelb wasn't going to join us either. Gelb usually joins us on Wednesdays. We only had a one-hour show yesterday. And then I had texted Gelb, hey, we're only on for an hour. Do you want to come on Thursday instead? Because Solana and I are going to do a Thursday show. This was a couple days ago. And Gelb's like, nah, I can't work on New Year's Day. And then last night, I'd say about midway through the third quarter, he texts me.
Earlier.
He goes, F it. I want to come on. And so I knew the guy was feeling it. Did the Canes, did they make a statement? You were already a believer. Did they make a statement to the college football universe last night?
So I remember when I came on with you guys after they got into the college football playoff, and I said to you guys, in the NCAA tournament, whenever the team that gets in that people thought shouldn't get in, they end up going on a run. Now, I thought Ohio State was going to win the game, but I thought Miami could hang around. But the fact that they led the game wire to wire, and it wasn't as if they won the game 35-7, but when you beat Ohio State, that's just not going to be the way. But it was the way that they physically dominated the trenches. Then you had the two interceptions, the big pick six, where I still don't know where Julian Sain was throwing it. And they just did a good job running the football. It's not like Carson Beck was sensational last night, but he managed the game. And how Miami ended up being the better team from start to finish, that was the most impressive part. And after you beat a team like Ohio State, you go on to beat anybody.
Gelb, is the U officially back? The U, the one that they made 30 for 30s about, the University of Miami that played with swag. Is this officially them being back? Can we say that now?
Yeah, I think it's their biggest moment in what, 20, 25 years?
20 plus years, yeah.
What, before that, it was Manny Diaz with those turnover chains that one year with the defense.
That was a great moment. You know what? You know what? The introduction of the turnover chain was a great moment.
But this is one of those signature moments where if you're a Miami fan for the first time in a long time, you could actually envision getting two more victories and winning a national championship. Now, they're going to play the winner of Georgia and Ole Miss. And I look at that game. I bet Ole Miss earlier in the season, plus I think it was 7 when Georgia and Ole Miss played. And for three quarters, Ole Miss was smoking Georgia. Then Georgia not only came back and won, Georgia also covered what was the 7-point spread. So Georgia's going to be a really tough opponent. Can it be Ole Miss? Absolutely. But I would lean that it's going to be Georgia. But after beating Ohio State, why can't you go on to beat Georgia, who's very similar to Ohio State?
Because you remember at the beginning of the season, we were having a conversation because Ohio State was ranked number one overall. But there were a lot of people saying, you know what? Canes, based on who they've beaten at that point in the season, maybe they're the best overall team. And I think what happened, I was making this point to Solana yesterday. I think what happened with a lot of people who maybe don't watch college football all of it. And they certainly don't watch the Canes the way that we do down here. All they saw was a team at the end of the season that limped into the college football playoffs after not making the ACC championship game. And so the only thing people know about them is, oh, maybe they got the nod over Notre Dame when they shouldn't have. Are they even deserving? So in their minds, they're like, this is a bottom tier team that snuck in. You know, like a James Madison. They're looking at the U like a James Madison. And I think what happened was, you know, people start to pay attention after Texas A&M. They're like, interesting. This team looks like they're capable of something. And then they watched the game last night. Ohio State, I mean, reigning champions, but Ohio State widely considered to be the elite of the elite. And like you said, Miami leads wire to wire. I think people might be looking at them, whether it comes to Georgia or Ole Miss, and go, you know what? Maybe we were sleeping on these guys because they had two stumbles at the end of the season, Louisville and SMU. And so maybe they had a couple of stumbles, but they're forgetting this team is constructed pretty well.
Well, if you just watched it last night, it didn't look like there was any talent difference between Ohio State and Miami. And you could argue that Ohio State has the most talented roster in the country. And other people have given Miami their due this year, but there's no question those two losses, which were close losses, by the way, in the way that it did play out this year for them, even though the ACC didn't have this unbelievable season and the ACC was viewed as the fourth power conference, they got one of the four teams remaining. I will see who the other two are going to be, but I got to give credit to Mario Cristobal. The Georgia Tech game a few years ago that he blew or something like that. Yeah. And people are wondering, oh, is this just another story where the kid comes home and then it doesn't pan out? This is the second time, at least I can remember, that he defeated Ohio State. When he was the coach at Oregon, he walked into the shoe and beat the snot out of Ohio State. So think about it. How many coaches, you know, outside of maybe Sherrone Moore, which that's a whole different story, can really say that they beat the snot out of Ohio State when they play them? And that's what Mario Cristobal has been able to show at least two times in his career that I can remember. And it's a moment for him that it's a feel-good story because of how many times he could have taken that job, and then he ultimately didn't, and then he finally does. It gets off to a rocky start, and now this team is two wins away from hoisting a national championship trophy.
Any chance you saw that video of Jeremiah Smith after the game dapping up
everyone?
I mean, he looked like he that moment, like, really, it marinated. I picked the wrong team. and I know it's just a joke.
Yeah, he won a national championship last year, yeah.
And he's going to be, you know, a top 10 pick whenever it is that he goes out. But I mean, that was a vibe. Like, watching
unless
that video.
Unless you throw a little NIL money his way and get him to have a season at home.
Who knows? Maybe that could be had, especially with Brian Hartline leaving. So maybe he's not going to Miami. Maybe he's going to wind up going with USF. You know, I'm obviously kidding.
I dare him to go to USF.
That was the hangover day after New Year's joke of the day right there. But hey, what Miami did, it was so impressive. But if you want to talk about the video, Solana, it's not Jeremiah Smith. What was Michael Irvin doing on that sideline? Like, what got
taking
him
the belt to their ass?
No, I understand what he was doing, but what got him into that state of mind? Michael Irvin always looks like he's enjoying himself, but he looked like he was really enjoying himself.
You know, I had a text from a buddy of mine on a thread, a bunch of us, you know, who went to UM together in the late 80s. And he said, you know, Michael Irvin being on the sidelines in a 2025 game would have been like us watching football in the 80s. Jimmy Johnson is the coach. And there's a player from the 1940s on the sideline, you know, riling everybody up, and everyone's looking at him. Like, that's the age disparity between from when Michael played to now. The difference is Michael looks like he can still play. Michael looks like he could be out there.
Bro, he's got an 8-pack.
He's shredded. Absolutely
but it's
shredded.
40 years since he played for the Canes. It's
and you know what's
40
crazy?
Some years. That's wild.
If you ask like a random person who's the most recognizable person from this Miami run, with how many great videos you see of Michael Irvin, is it crazy to say that they would say it's the playmaker and he hasn't even played in a game?
I mean, he is eating it up. And we're talking about all these old Canes with Michael Irvin, Ray Lewis being there.
Yeah.
some great credit has to be given to Jason Taylor, who didn't play for the Hurricanes, played for the Dolphins. But Jason Taylor is making a name for himself as a coach, no?
Yeah, and you would think if he wants to be a head coach in this NIL era, he would have so much backing and he could be a head coach instantly. I don't know if it would be at a big school, but I would take a shot on a Jason Taylor. If you're telling me he's going to come with all this NIL money and you could use his name to really build the program up, I don't think it's crazy. You know, Coach Prime, I know he was coaching, but look at the little run that Colorado had for a bit with how much attention was on them.
How about tomorrow? Got the Winter Classic, Gelby. Panthers.
Are you going? I remember you gave me like a half-ass invite. You're like, oh, I got four tickets. Maybe if you're in town, you know, hit me up.
Yeah. I mean, the four tickets are being used now, but I am. I'm going. Solana's doing the show. I'm off tomorrow. I'm actually going to take my day off tomorrow. But Solana's doing the show with Josh Appel from Lone Depot Park. Appel's there right now.
Appel's going to be on the carry him, man. His back's going to be hurting after that.
Appel's going to be on the national radio broadcast for Sports USA. Appel's ringside for the national radio broadcast.
Oh, really?
We'll have it here locally on 104.3. But yeah, Panthers, Rangers, Lone Depot Park. I mean, that's kind of exciting, no?
Well, the good thing is the game isn't at Madison Square Garden because the Rangers have been absolutely dreadful this year at home. And the only time they actually have a pulse is when they go on the road. So it's a big spot. I'm sure the Panthers will be okay and they'll be able to defeat my Rangers. So I'm very down on. They do not have four lines.
You talked about, New Year's Day hangover. So did you change your mind and go to Times Square last night?
So funny point of contention. I actually got invited to go to this place. This restaurant where the NYPD actually comes in at 11:15 and they escort you to the ball drop. Some other people wanted to stick with the previous plan, so I couldn't end up making my way there. Yeah, I had to politely decline. It was a point of contention.
Solana, tell them what you did last night for New Year's Eve.
I know what he means by some other people. My guess
it was an $1,800 value, by the way, per person, and we were getting it for free.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
your girlfriend overruled him.
One person.
Yeah. I have my headphones in right now, so they can't hear the other end. So yes, under the bus, getting thrown.
And we know you're whipped. We know you're a little poppy over there. So.
Yeah. says the guy that has a photo every 3 seconds of his fiance on Instagram.
By the way, speaking of fiancés, friend of
she
the
made
program,
the most
Chris,
delicious. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Chris Whittingham, longtime friend of the program, got engaged yesterday.
Oh, so well, very happy mazel tov to him. Mazel. Congratulations. Didn't you bring him on once to like break down, because he's a big Italian. Was that him or was that Dono?
Well, Dono's the Italian. Whittingham, though, is a soccer expert. So if I was breaking down Italian soccer, it was Whittingham. If I was breaking down Aperol Spritz and Gabagool, it was Dono.
Sorry, Maradona, Gabagool kind of sounds very similar. Probably where I confused
them. Yeah, I don't think Maradona's Italian.
He isn't?
Nope.
I don't think so.
That wasn't the pasta dish I had last night?
Speaking of Italian, Maradona. Solana, tell him what you did last night for New Year's Eve.
So we had a little get-together at the Solana residence, invited a bunch of my friends over, their wives, and we were going to be a lot of people. We're going to watch the Canes game. I'm not going to cook, Elb. I mean, too many people. I catered a little authentic Italian food. Look at that. Tell me that doesn't look delicious. A little chicken parm, some fettuccine Alfredo.
Tell them where you brought it in.
Yeah, where'd you bring it in from? Olive Garden?
From Olive Garden.
My neighborhood Italian joint. Your punchline is his truth.
Oh, my God. You are Fugazi, let me tell you.
I mean, it's a chicken parm, a whole meal. They include the breadsticks, the salad, the chicken parm.
Yeah,
the pasta, delicious. A little tiramisu action, delicious.
I had an actual Italian meal last night. I went to Il Molino, which was very good. But
they have one right next to me here in Boca.
Oh, do they?
Il Molino. There's only one in New York and one in Boca, but it's literally right down. It's in walking distance.
How big is it?
Oh, tiny.
Yeah, like the one last night, there was 12 tables in like the whole place.
Yeah, it's tiny. I didn't know. That's funny. You went to Il Molino. That's funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one right down the street.
Yeah, but the Canes, man.
real authentic with one in Boca too. Wow. Must be real authentic.
You know what, Solana, when you come into town, I'll take you to Brooklyn and we'll go to Frankie's 457 and we'll be one of the best Italian meals.
Take him to the original Olive Garden in Times Square. That's his homeland.
We'll go there for lunch.
Before, actually.
We'll go there for lunch and then Carmine's for dinner, all right? All in Times Square. And then you can beg for change so you can pay for the meal.
Take him to a real, real authentic night out of live music, House of Blues.
You catered in Olive Garden? You had people over?
Catered in Olive Garden, and I'd do it again. Next year, Olive Garden again. Those breadsticks with the salad, delicious, man. That was a beautiful meal.
I guess you guys putting his name on the show doesn't mean that he got a raise right?
It does not.
your well, name is on
didn't our... do anything for his taste. I don't know if he got a raise or not, but he certainly didn't improve his taste.
Your name is on a very well-renowned radio show. You have to be held to a higher standard, not basically giving Chuck E. Cheese out for New Year's Eve dinner.
I'm sticking to what got me there, Gelb. Olive Garden.
So anyway, Gelby, you're a believer in the University of Miami, and we'll find out tonight, Georgia or Ole Miss, but you could see them advancing past either of those teams.
Yeah, I think they could be competitive with Georgia. Like, if you put a gun to my head, I would pick Georgia to beat Miami, but after beating Ohio State, there's not a team that you could tell me in the nation right now where I'd be like, oh, wow, I can't believe Miami ended up winning that game, which I don't know if you could have said that before last night. I do agree with you. I think there was some skepticism with them, and even after the first round victory, it wasn't all that pretty. In College Station up against A&M. But when you beat Ohio State in the fashion they did last night, the sky is the limit for the U. There's no doubt about it.
And they're back?
Yeah, they're back. You know,
Carson Beck?
They'll really be back if we get a 7-4 Crew remix. Give me a little 7-4 Crew remix with like
Greg Olson, Greg Olson's claim to fame.
I would start singing that song because I would listen to that song as a kid, but I do think then Len Wiener would have a heart attack to start the new year because we'd have to use the dump on him 45 times.
Nobody could believe what was going on at the seventh floor until the seventh floor crew came out. That's so funny that you knew that song, man. Greg Olson, talk about like a recalibration of someone, right? Like Greg Olson's like the guy that you would leave your kids with at this point.
So one of my buddies, Justin Burstein, who I went to sleepaway camp with, he's from Coral Gables. And when we went to camp as kids, like we must have been 8 or 9, he would play that song on like his computer that he snuck into the camp. And that was my first introduction to 7-4 Crew. He runs like a luxury car dealership down in South Florida right now. And he's the one that always takes me to Joe Stonecrab. So that's my Miami plug. But yes, I could go through all the lyrics and all the things that they said. And one of the funniest thing was when Greg Olson was at the Super Bowl and they were like, oh, you're my favorite rapper of all time at that media day.
He's
and
like,
to run from it. Run.
He's like, no, no. Next question.
PG, keep it moving. Yeah,
he would.
I'm a family man now.
Would not even acknowledge that. That's funny. One of our guys who's on the chat all the time, K-Space, he's like, Hawk, you don't even know South Florida. Il Molino's at Sunrise and US1. Maybe there is one there, but there's one on Palmetto Park Road, 451 Palmetto Park Road in Boca.
Don't Trust you me. Also go to, there's another restaurant here in New York. Isn't Patsy's down there by you as well?
Patsy's is in my building.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Now, did they start in Chicago? I know they have one in New York. Supposedly they have a really good burger.
No, they started in Harlem in 1936.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But I will tell you, Patsy's has some of the best pizza. And I'm a Chicago guy, so I like Chicago-style pizza. This is thin New York style. Patsy's has some of the best pizza I have ever eaten and some of the best pasta I've ever eaten.
Do you know who has the best pizza?
In the world or in New York?
In the U.S.
The best pizza... See, I would probably go like Uno or Due in... No.
City and state.
I would go Barnaby's. In Northbrook, Illinois, Barnaby's.
Okay.
Best tavern-style pizza on the planet.
My favorite pizza happens to be in South Florida. It's not shtick. Vice City Pizza. I've told Hawk that like he's got to come down. And it was named the best pizza in Florida. It's like tavern Detroit-style square pizza. It's delicious. My guess is Gelb's going to give us some mom and pop in New York.
No. Just New Haven in Connecticut. Go to New Haven, Connecticut. Yeah. Sally's Modern, the best pizza.
They have a they have a Frank Pepe that just opened here in Delray Beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the white clams, right? The white clam sauce.
I like New Haven style.
Garden.
I like New Haven style, but you're watching too much. You're watching too much Portnoy.
Right.
No.
Yeah,
no. Hold on. I recommended to Portnoy to go to that place, Ceres. I tweeted at him. And the thing blew up. And then he went there and he rated it like a 9.3. I would even say, as much as I love New York City pizza, as someone that has been going to Connecticut at least for 8 or 9 years and has been going to get him pizza there, that's, I took my dad there when we went to Springsteen for his birthday. So we have to go. We went to Modern because there was no line. You could sit down there, so it's easier. And my dad is like a very antsy person, so he wasn't going to be waiting on the line. But yeah, that New Haven, Connecticut, my favorite type of pizza.
You got to get the Barnaby's, Northbrook, Illinois.
I went to Pizza Amici in Chicago when I went there this summer. Now, here's the thing. There's a big debate with people from Chicago that I would think from afar that deep dish pizza is the best pizza in Chicago. It's the tavern style that's tavern actually style. Better.
Yeah.
I feel like a Chicago.
I like deep dish pizza. I really do. And if I go back to Chicago, I'll certainly go have it. But you can't have, like, if you're ordering in a pizza once a week or whatever, like, you can't have deep dish all the time. Tavern style, which is thin, square cut.
Very good.
Not square cut like Detroit style, which are big pieces. These are thin little square cut pieces. Some have crust, some don't. Depends where you get the piece from.
It's very easy to just eat like 100 of those slices pretty much at Chicago.
Oh, I love Barnaby's. Barnaby's is the best. All right, Gelby, enjoy the rest of your New Year's Day, and we will speak with you next week as we get ready for Canes and either Georgia or Ole Miss.
You got it. And Jimmy, just make sure you turn my mic on next week. Happy New Year, guys.
Look at that, Jimmy. Took a
love
took
you, a Jimmy. Haymaker. You're the best.
Took a haymaker on the way out, Jimmy.
Love you too,
Gelby. The best producer that Hoffman and Crowder have ever had in their history of producers.
Damn straight.
That's without question.
Can't even think of a second.
That's without question. All right. Zach Gelb there. Have a good call this weekend for Compass Media Networks. We'll take a break. 4 o'clock hour is next on Hoffman, Crowder, and Solana.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
It's a chain thing. You wouldn't understand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.